Yosef and Yehuda, and Rashi comes on the pasuk Al Yichar Abcho Biabdecho. That he was speaking very sharply. Yehuda was speaking with kas to Yosef. Medrash quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, "Kine amlochem noadu ovru yachtov," etc. That the two malochim that we're speaking about is an allusion to Yosef and Yehuda. Ovru yachtov means that there was evra, there was kas between the two of them. The Medrash even has an expression that he was spitting bullets. The Medrash has a lashon that Yehuda was so angry, he was chewing chunks of metal and grinding it, pulverizing it with his teeth. And he was spitting out this metal dust. And his hairy chest, the chest on his hair, was sticking out through his garments. And he was ready to kill him. He was ready to kill Yosef. They were screaming, and the brothers were just standing on the side. They weren't making any comments. The matter seems to imply as if they were vying over who was greater, who deserves to be the melech over Klal Yisrael. Kinei amlochem nodu over Yachtov, that Yehuda and Yosef were vying over the malchus, who should be the melech. And then the matter says that Yehuda won. Yehuda was zeichet the malchus. This is one of the themes that connects the Haftarah with the Parsha. The Haftarah speaks about the fact that Losi Lovoi, the Melech will be Avdi David Melech Aleim. The Malchus will be from Shevet Yehuda, a descendant from David HaMelech, as opposed to being a descendant from Shevet Yosef. There'll be a Mashiach Ben Yosef first, but he's going to die. And the real Melech HaMashiach is going to rule over Bnei Yisrael, is going to be the Mashiach Ben David. What's the issue? What's the issue between Yehuda and Yosef? Very unclear. I don't know, must be some Kabbalah in you. Rav Soloveitchik once held a whole drasha on this that's printed in the collection of drashas, that the question was, who was greater, the one who was always a tzaddik or the one who sinned and became, who was chayzeh b'tshuvah? That Yosef was always a tzaddik. When Eishes Potiphar started up with him, he was able to withstand this temptation, and he was living in Eretz Mitzrayim, and he didn't sin, he didn't fall in with all of the nevola that they had there. They had so much arayis. He wasn't nichshol. And Yehuda had an affair with his zayna. And then later on, he grew, and he was a chayze b'tshuva. So the Gemara has an expression, the makum shabale tshuvam, the main tzadikim gvorim michodam lam. The Gemara has a machlekes. Shalom shalom la'rochok v'la'korov, omar Hashem v'refosiv. So the Gemara brochas has an argument on that pasuk, shalom shalom la'rochok v'la'korov. One apparently is closer than the other. The two groups of people refer to the tzaddikim and the balei tshuva. So who is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the final conclusion is that the balei tshuva are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one twist over here. That's one interpretation as to why Yehuda was zeichet to leadership, to Malchus, as opposed to Yosef. If the Melech is going to be such a great tzaddik, so he won't be able to appreciate it. Most people cannot be on such a madrega to be tzaddikim all along, never to sin. You have to be a little bit tolerant with the people. So it's better to have a Melech who's a Baal Tshuva. He'll be able to deal with everybody. He'll be able to deal with tzaddikim, and he'll be able to deal with the Baal Tshuva. But one is a tzaddik gomor, won't be able to deal with everybody. Because he won't understand why everybody's not on his madrega. Why can't they all be like me? The Medrash has another comment over here. Why was Yehuda zeichet to Malchus? So the pasuk continues to say, Ki abdecho arabus anar. So the Medrash says that the one who's prepared to accept orbus for another person is roy to service in the capacity of a leader. Yehuda accepted Arvus. The father wasn't prepared, Yaakov Avinu wasn't prepared to entrust Binyamin with any of the other brothers, because no one accepted Arvus. Yehuda was the only one who said, Anochi Erevenu, Miyodi Tivakshenu. There's such a medrash in the beginning of Chumash Mos, that why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen as a manig of Klal Yisrael, and why is it that Dovid HaMelech and several of the other Nevi'im, because they were shepherds. And a shepherd is very compassionate. Shepherd has to sometimes pick up the sheep. he's also in a certain sense one who demonstrates a lot of arvus, that he's very caring for other people. You can't have a philosopher king who sits in his ivory tower and he pontificates. You have to have someone who is Muriv Amabrius, someone who has arvus for the others. What exactly does mean the arvus? The Gemara in the end of Maseches Bava Basra says that the Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra says there is such a din as an orev. An orev means a cosigner. If someone borrows money, Reuben borrows money from Shimon, Shimon is afraid to lend Reuben the money because he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have any assets. So if a wealthy person will co-sign, someone who has a job kavua will agree that in the event that Reuben can't pay, so I will pay, so that's called an orev. So the Gemara, so the Mishnayos talk about an orev b'shas halvoah, an orev lachar matamoes. Two different kinds, different kinds of orev. So the Mishnayos recognize that there is such a din as orev, that the orev is mishtabit. The loiv, I understand, the malva lent the money to the loiv, so that's halacha, that the loiv is chayv. Who says the orev is chayv to pay? So the Gemara quotes the psukim in Mishlei, that Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, it's not a wise thing to become an orev on behalf of someone else. B'ni, emarafta l'reecho, takaita l'zark kapecho, if you serve as an orev, so you're in for a lot of trouble, the end is going to be the loiv is not going to pay, and then sometimes the loiv will really not pay, and then the orev is going to have to pay. I know a fellow who agreed to Talmud. He lives in Eretz Yisrael already for many years. He agreed to be an orev for a roommate of his when they were single, and now the fellow's already married a few years with a few children, and the other fellow never paid the debt that he owed, and this guy had to pay the money to the bank, and he took away his apartment, and he had to come to America. He had to run away to America because they're ready to take away all of his assets. Ma'aseh Mechol Yom, it happens a lot of times. So the Tanakh recommends you shouldn't become an Orev. So the way it's described in Mishlei, it sounds very much that this is legally binding, that the Orev does have to pay. So the Gemara suggests maybe you don't have to go so far to Mishlei to see that there is an institution of Orev that is chayv to pay. Maybe you can learn it out from the Parsha of Yehuda, that Yehuda says, so the Gemara is matcha that. The Gemara says it's not a good marker to learn out from Yehuda. So the Poshita reason why you can't learn out is because Yehuda wasn't really an Orev, Yehuda was a loiva. Yehuda tells the father, so a loiva, a shoyl, not a loiva, a shoyl. He's borrowing the brother Binyamin and he says, a shoyl is chai b'yonsin. Not that if he dies I'll give you a different binyamin. A loiva is milva lo hitzon nitnan. The loiva has the right to spend the money and pay back other money. And a shoyel has the right to borrow the object. He gives him permission to borrow and to return back this object. So Yehuda promises the father, I'm going to give you back binyamin. Don't worry about it. I'll see to it that I return binyamin to you. So he's not really an orev. He's really a shoyel or a loiva, whatever you want to call it. And the loshen nochi arvenu is just a melitza. I will be responsible for him, but the responsibility is not b'toras orev. So that's what the simple pshat in the Gemara is, that you can't derive the principle of orev of a cosigner from the parsha of Yehuda, because it wasn't really an orev at all. In the shiltas, the goyim had a different girsa that the Netziv points out. The girsa of goyim was you can't learn out orev stam from Yehuda. Maybe you can only learn out an Orev Kaplan. What do you mean an Orev Kaplan? He wasn't an Orev Kaplan at all. There's a difference between an Orev Stam and an Orev Kaplan. An Orev Stam means the Loiva borrows money from the Malve, and then the Malve has to go first to collect the money from the Loiva. Ain't good from an Orev Tchile, not supposed to go first to the Orev. First you have to waste time to try to collect from the Loiva. In the event that the Loiva doesn't have any assets, then you're permitted to go collect from the Orev. In an Orev Kablon, the arrangement is such that if the Malva chooses to, he can either collect from the Orev or collect from the Loiva. He doesn't have to go lechatchila to try to collect from the Loiva. If he wants to, if he chooses to, he can go directly to the Orev. That's called an Orev Kablon. So what is the Girsas HaGoinim? The Matche, the Gemara says, why do you have to go so far to Mishlei to learn that there's an institution of Orev? Why not learn out from Yehuda? And he says, Anochi Yarvenu. So the Gemara in the end of Bava Basra, the last sugi in Bava Basra, when it talks about Orev, so the Gemara is Matche this, according to the Girsas HaGoinim, that this is an Orev Kablon. What does God do with an Orev Katmos? Bechlal not an Orev. He's Lugamri not an Orev. So the Netziv has a very interesting comment on that Pasuk. He quotes the Rashi's comment on today's Sedra, that when Yehuda is telling Yosef why he got so involved, so he's saying that the father said, that Yaakov Avinu said, I had only two sons from my beloved wife, and one of them is missing. Yosef is missing. So this one that's left, Binyamin is left, is the Ben Yochid. All the other children are from the three wives that I wasn't really interested in marrying in the first place. The only wife I wanted to marry was Rachel, and she had two children. And now Binyamin is like treated like the Ben Yochid, and he's going to die, so it's going to be terrible. So he says, the Karavu Asan, an accident will occur, Baratim Misei Vasi Barosh Olam. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, comments on the Pasuk, the Karavu Asan. So the Medrash says, Shehasota Mikatrik Bishas HaSakana. The difficulty in the Pasuk is, if he's worried about an accident, so Mali Hasan, what? Accidents are more prone to occur on the highway than in the house. The whole roof may collapse. And Binyamin may get killed at home, maybe go horseback riding, and also throw him into the river or something. He may get killed in another fashion. He's worried about an Asan. So what's the difference here and there? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, V'karahu Asan, because when you go on the highways, that's always a bit of a sakana, and the Satan is Mekatrek Bishas HaSakana. The Satan wants to collect people's lives for averus that they violated. So he doesn't want to do it in a miraculous fashion, in a such a conspicuous way. Let's say a person did an avera today. He didn't say a bracha when he ate his breakfast, or he didn't daven. He didn't wake up in time to daven. So the Satan's going to make him die just like this. He's going to die. A healthy person's going to die with no explanation. So Satan tries to do it. B'derech hateva, it should look like hey, he got a heart attack because he was overweight, because of this, because of that. It should look like there should be some healthy explanation. Some explanation b'derech hateva. So that's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash. Asotan mikatrik b'shas hasakon. If the Satan comes to cause someone to die because of some averes that he did, so the Satan will start up with him if he's in a place where it's more of a sakon. So at home, an accident can also happen, but that would be a freak accident. If something will happen on the highway, so we know that highways are always b'cheska sakana. Kol ha-drochim b'cheska sakana. That's what the Gemara has an expression. Kol ha-drochim b'cheska sakana. Whenever you travel on a highway, there's always a shtickel sakana. The cars are going very quickly, they can crash into each other, you can have accidents. That's why we recite tefillas ha-derech. It's a tefillah b'yeis tzara, because kol ha-drochim b'cheska sakana. If the person perceives the sakana, as the Rav Soloveitchik thought, if a person travels on a highway and he's absolutely not nervous at all, he goes by plane, he doesn't feel any nervousness at all, so then he doesn't say tefillah sadech. Tefillah sadech is only a tefillah. The eis tzara, if the person perceives the sakana. That's the halacha. Whenever there's a sakana that's way less than 50-50, so it's not considered a sakana unless the person perceives it as such. Otherwise, it's not called a sakana. Let's say some people are afraid to go visit Eretz Yisrael, and other people are not afraid to visit it. So the truth of the matter is that to live in New York City is probably more dangerous. There's more of a chance that you're going to get killed in New York City than if you're going to go visit Eretz Yisrael. With the intifada, with everything that's going on. Some of the crime rate in New York, with the accidents on the highway here in New York, are probably greater than in Eretz Yisrael. But still, it all depends on whether the person perceives this as a sakana. If the person's nervous about it, not a 50-50 sakana, it's nowhere near a 50-50 sakana. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Ketilim Shemer Psoim Hashem. So if the person is a pesi, that he's not worried about the sakana, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a shmira. If the person is not a pesi, and he is worried about the sakana, so then it's called the suffix sakana. So the person shouldn't get involved in a suffix sakana. So that's very subjective. The same matzav, some people will be nervous, some people will not be nervous. So for the one who's nervous, it's called the suffix sakana. For the other one, it's not called the suffix sakana. You can have many people going on the same highway. Some of them will say tefillah saderech, others will not. So those who are nervous will say tefillah saderech, because they perceive a sakana. So that's a tefillah b'yeis tzor. For the others who are not nervous, so they'll laugh at them. What are you worried about? There's nothing to be worried about. They don't perceive any sakana. So al pi din, it's not considered a sakana. So what does it mean exactly over here, the Karohu Asayim? He's afraid that the Satan will come. That's what the Netziv points out. Yaakov Avinu is afraid the Satan will come to take the life of Binyamin because of some aver that Binyamin had previously done. The Kararahasa means that the Satan is going to take his life as an Einish. It means a Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's how the Gemara says later in Ksubas. The Gemara says there is a din of Komlei B'dei Rabbinei. There are many discussions in the third parak in Eilun Aris about the din of Komlei B'dei Rabbinei. So the Gemara quotes Machlekes, different Tanoim. So Rav Meir's opinion is that there's only a din of Komlei B'dei Rabbinei if you have Misa and Momen that were chal simultaneously. But if you only have Malkus and Momen, so Rav Meir's opinion is Loike Mishalem. And we don't pass like Rav Meir, we pass in that even Malkus patas from Momen and even Misa patas from Malkus. Two additional cases of Komlei B'dei Rabbinei. What if there's neither Misa nor Malkus, they're just an Einish Kares? A person is served Kedisha Shal Chavera B'Yom HaKippurim. A served Kedisha Shal Chavera B'Shabbos. If I burn down someone else's barn on Shabbos, so Shabbos is the Chi of Misa. So Chi of Misa patas from the Chi of Mammon, even if he is Machal Shabbos B'Shoigeg or B'li Hasro. He's not going to get the death penalty, he's not going to get the Einish Misa Bezin, that's Tan de Bechizkin. So you still say Kamalei B'di Rabbinah. What if the person is served Kedisha Shal Chavera B'Yom Kippur and there's no Malkus because it was B'Shoigeg? So this chorus itself, pata from Mammon, so the Mishnah says no. And the Gemara comments that the Mishnah Bava Kame is in disagreement with Rav Nachuni ben Akana. Rav Nachuni ben Akana, Hayoisos Yom HaKippurim Kishabbos. He says that it's the same. Sarv Kedisha Shal Chaver, B'Yom HaKippurim is the same as Sarv Kedisha Shal Chaver, B'Shabbos. But chorus also accomplishes Kamlev with the Rabbinei, and you don't pay for the Mammon. What would Rav, so we don't accept Rav Nachuni ben Akana's opinion. We don't pass him like him. What would he say, though, in the case of Misa B'dei Shamayim and Mammon? Would he say that Misa B'dei Shamayim patas from Mammon or not? So that's a Machlokes Abaye V'Rova, Perikei L'Naris. So one of the Amoraim sees from this pasuk the Karohu Asoin, you see from this pasuk that Misa B'dei Shamayim is referred to as Asoin. Where do you see Misa B'dei Shamayim is referred to as Asoin? Karohu Asoin is afraid that an accident will happen. So apparently the Gemara understands like this Medrash that Rashi quotes, Asata Mikatrik B'Shas HaSakona. The Karohu Asa means that Yaakov Avinu was afraid that Binyamin would be punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim, the Satan will come to collect his life because of some avera that he had done previously, so the Satan can kill him at home also. Why does the Satan have to kill him on the highway? Because the Satan is Mekatrik B'Shas HaSakana. The highway is more of a Mokma Sakana. They were nervous. When they traveled on the highways, they said Tfilos Aderech. They perceived years ago, is very clear. Everybody perceived the sakana, that the highways weren't paved, and they didn't have lights, and they didn't have guards, and they didn't have state troopers, and so on. So they had chayis rois and listim and kol mini peronis and masakshus of Oslo, all kinds of things that we speak about in the Tfilos Aderech. The highways were clearly very dangerous. That's why in Europe, by Ashkenazim, it was a common practice to name children after wild animals. My name is Tzvi, Aryeh, all kinds of names like that. So the idea behind this was that in case the person would be traveling on a highway and a bear would come or some other animal would come, so I'll tell him, I'm also an animal, so you have the heritage, stay away from me, I'm also an animal. That's where the minute came from, to give names of animals, because these could travel on highways, used to get devoured, used to get killed by animals. So they gave names to the children of animals so the other animals should be afraid of them. So the Netziv points out that this Gemara that says the one opinion in the Gemara is that Rav Nachuni ben Akana would say Kamlei B'dei Rabbinei, not only that Kares patas from Mammon, even Misa B'dei Shamayim patas from Mammon, is based on the Gzeira Shava Asan Asan. That it says over here the Karahu Asan, that means that Binyamin may die because of Misa B'dei Shamayim, the Sotah may take his life in Shas HaSakana. And it says, Imlo ye Asan Anish Yanish, Im Asan Yim, and Asatan Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, and Parshas Mishpatim, in the context of the din of Kamlei B'dei Rabbinei, so the word Asan appears there too. The other word asin is about kinatzah anashim v'nakvi shahar v'yatzu yuladeha masin yi, if they kill the woman, then it's kamlei b'dei rabbinei. They don't pay the meva lot. Lo yi asin, if they didn't kill the woman, they only killed the uber, so then there's no kamlei b'dei rabbinei, because the hargis ha-uber is no chi of miso, so then you pay the meva lot. So just like over there, it says in asin and parshas mishpatim, there is a din of kamlei b'dei rabbinei. That's the original mafkar of kamlei b'dei rabbinei. Masin yi v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, that you don't pay. So to over here, awesome, B'dei Shamayim, Misa B'dei Shamayim, there's also a din of Kamlei B'dei Rabbinei. That's how the Gemara says, within Rav Nachuni ben Akana. We don't pass like Rav Nachuni ben Akana even by Kores, so you can forget about the Misa B'dei Shamayim. So you see, the Netziv says, you see that the Gemara understood the Pshat and the Pasuk, the Karohu Asan, like the Medrash Rabbah that Rashi quotes. That Yaakov Avinu was concerned about the fact, the Karohu Asan, that the Yamin may be punished by the Malach, the Satan will come to the Mekatrik B'Shas HaSakana and take his life because of an Avera that he did. So what good is it that Yehuda says, Anochi Yarvenu, if the father's afraid that maybe Binyamin did an Avera? So what is Anochi Yarvenu? So the Gemara understands that Yehuda said, I'll serve as the Orev. If the Satan comes to take the life of Binyamin because of some Avera, like if the Malva comes to take the money from the Loiva, so the Orev says, I'll pay instead. So Yehuda says, Yehuda tells the father, if the Satan comes to take the life of Binyamin because of an Avera that he did, so Yehuda says, so I'll volunteer to the Satan. So it's not really an Orev Stam. An Orev Stam, the Halacha says, the Malva first goes to collect from the Loiva, and if the Loiva has no assets, then he takes away from the Orev. If the Malach is coming, the Satan is coming over here to take the life of Binyamin because of an Avera that he did, so what do you mean? So he can take his life. What do you mean Yehuda is going to serve as an Orev? So Yehuda says, no, I don't want to be a Stam Orev. I'll be an Orev Kaplan. That's how the Goyim had the Girsa in the Gemara. That Yehuda volunteered to be an Orev Kaplan. He said, if the Satan comes to take the life of Binyamin because of Averis that he had done, so I will intervene and I'll tell the Satan, take my life and don't take the life of Binyamin. Like an Orev Kaplan who says, I'll pay. Don't bother the Loiva, I'll pay. And that works. There is such a thing. Very surprising. One person did an Avera, and when the Malach HaMavis comes to punish him to take his life, so a tzaddik can come and volunteer, take my life instead, and the Malach HaMavis will be satisfied. He's allowed to do that. They just, when he brings the soul back to heaven, they just check to see if he brought a soul. It doesn't matter whether it's the soul of the sinner or the soul of a tzaddik. That's how the Netziv explains the Girsas HaGoyim here.
This makes sense.
Yeah, but what the Netziv is explaining, he says, Anochi Ervenu. Oh, that would make more sense. That would make more sense. He says, if anything will come up and Binyamin will be held responsible for something, so I'll substitute instead of Binyamin. Like he wanted to take Binyamin as a slave. Yes, he wanted to take Binyamin as a slave. So then Yehuda said, I'll serve as the Arab. That makes sense. Indeed, Imamanus. Yosef claims that he has a schus to hold Binyamin as an Eved because he stole his cup. So he says, I'll serve as the Eved instead. That kind of Arab does make sense. That I would understand. But the way the Netziv explains the Girsas HaGana with this, the rest of the Pshat is I can understand. The Karahu Asain is Misa Videi Shamayim, Kasat Mekatrek, and Kaladroch, Meches Chesakana. That part I understand. But the punchline that Yehuda volunteered to be an Orev Kaplan for the Misa B'dei Shamayim, that's very hard. This would make better sense. He volunteered to be an Orev in case anything will come up, but that doesn't answer the concern that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of. He's afraid of the Karahu Asain. The Satan will come and take his life possibly because of an Avera that he had done, that he deserved Misa B'dei Shamayim. So what does Yehuda respond to that? So what did the father listen to Yehuda? So that's why the Netziv interprets that Yehuda responded to that. I'll serve as the Orev Kaplan for that, for the Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the question is, how does that make sense? There is such a thing. I don't know what it means. Anyway, that's one of the suggestions in the Medrash Mifnei. Ma Zacha Yehuda L'Malchus, because of his Orvus, that one who is right to serve in a position of leadership, one who in the past has already demonstrated his concern for others, that he takes care of other people. If he never demonstrated concern for others, then he shouldn't appoint him as in a position of leadership. After Yehuda gives his whole presentation to Yosef, so Yosef, lo yachol Yosef lihisapik, because they're saying the father's going to die. Then the Medrash adds on to the Psuk, Medrash adds on, but I know that the father, but I know that you sold your brother as a slave. Medrash says that he interjected all of that now. You sold your brother as a slave and you didn't care about the father getting a heart attack. So then the Medrash adds on that Yehuda said, yeah, we were all discussing that, we all decided that we're going to go try to find out where he is now, and we're going to go destroy the whole Egypt if we don't find him. So then Yosef got petrified. So then it says he's afraid they're going to kill him too. So then the story in the Chumash continues that he figured this is the end of the story. He better tell him who he is. So it says, Vayikra Hatzil Kalish Me Alai. He asked everybody to please leave the room. There was nobody there. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. He didn't want his brothers to be embarrassed. He's going to give Musa to the brothers. He's going to say that you, I'm Yosef, Hashem Achart Moshe Mitzrayim. So he didn't want all the Egyptians to be present when he gives the tochacha to the brothers. So he asked everybody to please leave the room. That's what the pasuk says. In Vayikra, Achech Tochech Es Hamisech V'Losisa Olav Chay. So Rashi quotes from the Sifra, from the Torah's Kohanim. You have an obligation to give Musa, to give Tochacha to other people. But don't humiliate them in public. If you have to give Musa, so give it privately, but no one else is watching. You don't have to, the whole world doesn't have to know about the Averis that the brothers did. So that's what Yosef did. He sent everybody out of the room. They heard that the brothers had come. Yeah. They heard that Yosef's brother, they heard the end of the story was, they heard that the brothers were there, but they didn't hear the whole story about the fact that they had sold him as a slave. And the pasuk continues later that when Paro and the others heard, that the brothers here in pasuk in chapter Memhei, pasuk Tezayin, Bakol Nishma Beis Paro Lemabo Achei Yosef, the whole Pentagon, the whole cabinet, everybody heard that these were the brothers. They were all very happy. Here it says that Paro heard, the people who were there in the next room heard that these are brothers. And then it says when all of the government officers heard, everybody was very pleased about this. So the Ramban explains over there, I think it's the Ramban, that originally, when they had no choice and they appointed Yosef to the top position in the government to be the Mishnah Lamelech, the assistant to the king, so they were very upset about this because he was a slave. So they had in their rules and regulations that you can't appoint a slave to any position of in the government. So they had no choice because he was the only one who knew what was going on. And now when they heard that he wasn't a slave, that his brothers, he was a brother from this big family, very Bekovetik family, no one knew, the Mitzrim didn't know that the brothers had sold him, that they didn't get along for so many years. They just heard that he had all these brothers and the father was a prominent rabbi in Eretz Yisroel. So they were very happy that they hadn't violated the rules and the regulations of the Medina. They're very happy that he's from Malchus Dike Mishpacha. The brothers were very upset and they were very embarrassed. So Yosef tries to calm them down. He says, V'yato al teyatzu v'al yicha b'enechem kemacharte mosihen ki lemichyo shlachani alakim lefnechem. Don't feel bad. It all turned out l'toiva. What does it help? It all turned out l'toiva. There is a famous Mishnah in Nazir that says, V'ashem yislach lo. The Mishnah comments on the pasuk, V'ashem yislach lo. That if the wife took a neder and the husband was made for the neder, then the pasuk says Hashem will forgive the wife. What does he have to forgive her? If the husband was made for the neder, no more neder, so the wife is allowed to violate the neder. What's lachatchila? You shouldn't violate the neder even after a hafara. There is no such din. So the Mishnah in Nazir says no. The pasuk is speaking about a case. The husband was made for the neder shaloi b'fnei yishto, and she's not aware of the fact that it's mufa. She thinks that it's still b'tokfoi. And then she goes and she violates the neder, thinking that she's doing an avera. But the truth of the matter is that the husband had already been made for it. So then the pasuk says, even though she deserves a punishment, Hashem yislach lo. Why does she deserve a punishment? Because she thought that she's doing an avera. Truth of the matter, she did do an avera. So the Mishnah gives the following mashal: Niskaven lechol besar chazir va'olam biyoda besar tele. A person goes to buy non-kosher food, and he intends to eat this non-kosher food, and then by accident they gave him kosher food, and what he's eating is really kosher, but he thought it was non-kosher. So the Mishnah tells us, based on that pasuk, Hashem yislach lo, that the person needs kapara. Since he intended to do an avera, so he has to have kapara. So that's the tell over here. What does Yosef tell the brothers? Don't feel bad, because everything turned out good in the end. Yeah, but they intended to do l'ro'ah. So just because everything turned out well, means that they don't need a kapara? Of course they need a kapara. Unless you'll interpret what he says is kinemichyo shalachani elokim lifnechem, that your bechira chavshis was suspended and you had no choice on the matter. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends people's bechira chavshis, but how did he know b'roch HaKadosh? Let's say when a person shoots someone else, when a person worships Avodah Zarah, whatever. So maybe this is min hashamayim. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended his bechira chavshis. So you don't say like that. We the Bezon Shalmata judges on the assumption that everybody has bechira chavshis. Unless they see the person is a shaita. Shaita means a person that doesn't have bechira chavshis. Doesn't have the ability to exercise bechira chavshis. That's called a shaita, but otherwise we assume people do have bechira chavshis. So what's the pshat over here? That's what some of the mefarshim seem to say like that. That HaKadosh Baruch had suspended, the Sfarno sounds like that, HaKadosh Baruch had suspended the bechira chavshis, so therefore they shouldn't feel bad because it wasn't an aver that they did out of their own free will. How does he have, how does Yosef know that that's the case? That is a teller. All the mefarshim find that very difficult to understand. The answers that they give are very difficult. The Ramban and the Arachaim, they talk about it, they don't really come up with reasonable answers. Very paladic. The Ramban says he felt that he had the prophecies had to be fulfilled. He had chaloimus and he realized the chaloimus. How did he know the chaloimus were prophecy? Okay. And he had to see to it that the nevuah should be fulfilled. And what's so bad, it'll be fulfilled. So they'll know that he's Yosef. They don't give a satisfactory answer. Yeah, that's how the Medrash says that Yehuda's violating Znus with Tamar was his Bechira Chavshis was suspended. That's what the Medrash Rabbi says on that post. Also, alright, so if the Medrash says they had a tradition, but how does Yosef tell this to the Baal? How does Yosef know that their Bechira Chavshis was suspended? So some, the Kli Chemdo has an arichas on this pasuk, Ata al teyotzva yicha be'enechem. He suggests that maybe there should be a fundamental difference between Averish ben Adam la'mokam as opposed to Averish ben Adam la'haver with respect to this point of Niskaman lechol b'sar chazir v'olav yodah b'sar tleh. Maybe in an Averish ben Adam la'mokam, so if the person intended to do an aver means that he wanted to rebel against the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he deserves also an einish. So he needs a kapara for having the intention. Machsheves avera is also an avera. If he planned to do ena kodesh brochem mitzar for lemaisa, if a person only had a machsheves avera, so he's not punished. Yeah, but over here he intended to do an avera and he did the activity which he thought was the avera. It turned out that it wasn't the avera, but he thought he was doing mamish avera. He ate food. He went to a non kosher shop and he buys food thinking that it's non kosher and eats it. Little did he know that it was kosher food. So he had machsheves aver and he did a pula which he thought was the aver. So that's what the Mishnah says, you need kapar. But in the area of averish ben adam l'chavero, so maybe that's what the Kli Chemda suggests. Maybe the ikar really depends on the poel yotze, on the result, on the end result. There is such a comment in the Chidushi Haran in the end of Sanhedrin. The Chumash describes the case of Golus. The typical case of Golus is a person goes to the forest to chop down trees, and he doesn't know that there's someone else there, and he chops with the hatchet, and the wood flies, and it kills the other guy, and he has to go into Golus. But Zachmamish Mesaseh, he didn't even realize at all, he had no Kavanas Hasiyah. So normally in Kol HaTorah Kula we say Mesaseh is less than Shoigeg. One who violates an Aver B'Shoigeg has to bring a Karban Chatas. If the nature of the Aver is such that if he would have violated it, B'Mezid, it would have been Chayiv Karis, so Kol Shezana Karis is Shigios HaChatas. As the bring a chatas, so the Mishnah says increases. That's only if he violates an aver b'shoigig. But if he violates an aver b'misasig, he had no kavanas asi at all. Then he's not even chayiv chatas. So there's a famous machlokes we discussed it when we learned the Tesis on Daf Hey about Dabbe Sheinu Miskaven. Famous machlokes Rabbi Kiva Eger against the Nesidus. Rabbi Kiva Eger thinks that misasig is an maisa avera b'shoigig, except that it's such a big shoigig, so the pasuk says he's not even chayiv chatas. Rabbi Kvega thinks that Misasik is only a p'tur from Chatos, but it's not a p'tur from Chatos Ola B'Yori. It's only a p'tur from Chatos Kvua. It's not a p'tur from Chatos Ola B'Yori. Amayis Aveira, it is. It's just a p'tur from this kind of a carbon Chatos Kvua. And the Nesivis holds not so. Nesivis holds that it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. That Misasik, since he did the Pu'ula without Kavanas Asi at all, he didn't realize that what he's doing is going to bring to such a result. So that's not called the Amayis Aveira at all. It's not the maisa doesn't relate to me. I didn't even realize that that's what I was doing. I didn't realize that pushing the button over here makes the lights go on, or opening the door makes the air conditioner go on, or something like that. So the whole pa'ula that happened doesn't relate to me. Kila nasa me'elo. As if it happened by itself. So how come the Chumash says that one to kill someone else by chopping down the tree in the forest, there's five goldas, there's mamish mesasek. He didn't even realize that there's anybody else in the forest. He didn't realize that by chopping the tree it's going to fly in the other direction. The whole thing is legamre mesasek. So the Chiddush Aran in the end of Sanhedrin on the Sugya of Ratzeach asked this kasha. So he says basically this answer, that when it comes to Averishet Menotam Lachavera, everything is judged by the end result. Bottom line, the other guy's dead, so you're responsible for it. In Averishet Menotam Lamokim, they're tshaych the same misasik. If it didn't have Kavanas Hasi at all, so there's absolutely no merit at all. Not even B'shoigeg. He didn't even have Kavana for that tachlis. But in Averis, in Inyonim of Benotam Lachavera, everything is judged by the end result. There is such a tosefta. In Zeroyim, the Tosefta says a person is walking in the street and has a hole in his pocket, and some money falls out of the hole, and the poor man finds the money, and he rejoices over the dollar that he found. So the one who dropped the money from his pocket will be rewarded. How do you know that's so? From the institution of Shikha, that I forgot a bundle of wheat in the field and I walk away. So the din is that's a mitzvah of shikha. If I remind myself later, if I see that it's there, so it says l'sosha l'kachti, not allowed to go back and take the shikha. And the pasuk seems to imply that I get reward from the mitzvah of shikha, even if I don't realize later on that I forgot it and I leave it consciously, on purpose, because the Torah tells me to leave it. If I forgot the bundle and I walk away and I never find out about it, so also I'll get reward from the fact that the Ani Imam is partners from the Shikha. So that's what the Tosefta says, that you get reward for being Mefarnas daughter, even though it was Legamri Shaloi B'miskach. So why is that? The Mamish no Kavanas Hasi at all. That's Mamish Mesasek. The money fell out of his pocket, he didn't realize that he lost the money. The Shikha, if he got the bundle in the field. So the answer is, when it comes to Benot Machaver, both mitzvahs should be on Machaver, and Aver should be on Machaver, everything depends on the end result. So that's what the Klichemdo suggests over here. When do you say Niskav Lechol B'sar Chazir or go to B'sar Tlet Tzorech Kaparo, that he deserves a punishment and he better do tshuva, he better do something about it? That's only an Averish Min Odom Lamokam, but an Averish Min Odom Lachavera, that's what Yosef says, everything turned out well in the end, so I have no right to harbor a grudge against you. Ha'icha Be'anechem, don't feel bad, in the end everything turned out well, so even though their Kavana was Lerua, it doesn't matter. Averish Min Odom Lachavera, everything is judged by the results, by the end. It's a chiddush.
Yehuda also then.
Yeah. Yehuda also, everything turned out well in the end. Yeah. Maybe that's the reason for the Ramban. We just discussed yesterday. No, the three opinions, whether Adam Amazik, Brain is Gomor. We discussed it yesterday. Somewhere I discussed it, yeah. So the Ramban in a few places hold Adam Amazik, Afila Brain is Gomor is Chai. Right. We happen to Paskin also. We Paskin Shulchan not like the Ramban. We Paskin is Gomor Yapata. Maybe that's what he holds. Everything is judged by the end result. Bottom line, you cause the Hezek. Like Retzeach B'Shoigeg, there's Mamashoinis. No, every Retzeach B'Shoigeg is Mamashoinis, the way it's described in the Chumash. It still has to go to the Ari Mikla. I don't know, the Rambam in Hilchus Retzeach Shmiras Nefesh writes that there are three categories, Shloshahim Ahargim Mishgoga, that's how he starts off the parak. There are three categories of people who killed B'Shoigeg. So he says there's a Shoigeg Korav Lamezit, there's a Shoigeg Korav Loinis, and then there's an intermediate Shoigeg. So he says if it's Shoigeg Korav Lamezit, Shegikar of Lipshia, Shegikar of the Mezid. It doesn't even help if he's going to run away to the Ori Mikla. The Goel Adam has a right to kill him even in the Ori Mikla. The Bezin has to determine if it was which category of Shegik it was. If it's Shegikar of Loines, he doesn't have to run away to the Ori Mikla because the Goel Adam has no right to kill him even outside of the Ori Mikla. So the only time the Chumash has an institution of Golis is the intermediate Shegik stop. Not Karv Lemezid, not Karv Loines. That's how the Rambam understands all the dinim in Makkos, in the second parak of Makkos, Elohein HaGoylin, and list off your potter in this case, that case, the other case. So the Rambam takes all the Turim in the Mishnais and he says that's potter because of category A and that's category C. Either it's potter because the Rambam understands no such thing as stomach zeros are cause of that you potter. Taisus in Gittin writes on Dafayin, yeah, psukim in Golas that you potter from Golas, even though there's no rationale. Gzeres HaKosov that he potter from Golas. And the Rambam disagrees with the Tesis. You never have a Gzeres HaKosov that he potter from Golas. All of the Pturim, all of the Psukim, it indicate that certain people don't go to Golas, either because he falls under category A of Shegi Korv Lameizer or category C of Shegi Korv Loinus. So that's problematic. What do you mean? And the guy went to the forest to chop down the trees. Misasik Mamish. The Ran writes and says, Misasik Mamish. And he still goes into Golas. So why isn't that oinus? Misasik and Kol HaTarkula doesn't relate to me. So why should I distinguish between misasik and oinus? I don't know. But the Rambam got this idea from the Gemara. The Gemara seems to have this idea that all of the pturim from Golas either fall under the one category or the other. Either the Korav LeMezer or the Korav LeOinus. Then Yosef tells the brothers, Mahru Valu Elovi, they should go back to Eretz Yisrael and bring the father down. So Rashi quotes the comment from the Medrash. Why does he say Va'alu Elovi? Because Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol Arotis. Eretz Yisrael is higher up than the rest of the locations on the rest of the globe. It always says when the brothers were shuttling back and forth, and it says when they went from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Mitzrayim, it says Va'yerdu Ache Yosef Asor. They were Yordim. And when you go back to Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says Va'alu Elovi, Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol Arotis. He spoke on different occasions. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that Eretz Yisrael is the highest location above sea level. It's just not true. We know that the Swiss Alps are much higher above sea level. Eretz Yisrael is not so high. What it means is, when we hold the globe, so we arbitrarily hold the North Pole on top. If you want, you can just as well hold the South Pole on top. If you want, you can hold Washington Heights on top. It'll just rotate on the axis in a different direction. So the halacha says that you hold Eretz Yisrael on top. So the male Eretz Yisrael is Gavayim, Mikol HaRotzes. What do you mean the halacha says? That's a fake. What do you mean? What's the significance? Just to use the Lashon Aliyah and Yeridah, that the one who goes to Eretz Yisrael is called an Oleh, because we hold Eretz Yisrael on top. So the Baal HaMor in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chof explains what the halachic significance is in this with respect to the international dateline. He says that the Novi Yecheskel refers to Eretz Yisrael as Tabur HaOretz, the middle of the globe, because when you hold the globe, the halacha says you hold it with Eretz Yisrael on top, and that's what it means. Yerushalayim gavoya mikol Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara, the Chasam Sofer has the kasha. The Gemara says Yerushalayim is not the highest location in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says David HaMelech was planning to build the Beis Hamikdash in Ein Itim. David HaMelech, whenever he would win all the wars with the enemy, so the Psukim say in Tanakh that he used to set aside all the precious metal, the gold, the silver, and the copper, is to set it aside for this wonderful Beis HaMikdash that he's going to build. And finally he was Mekadosh the Mokoyim. The Gemara says in Zvachim Dav Chavdalid that David HaMelech was Mekadosh the Ritzpes HaZorah. This is yes, the Kasha, the Hakan David HaMelech been Mekadosh the Ritzpes HaZorah. The Halacha says in Shavuos he can only be Mekadosh the HaZorah B'Shas Binyan, and he wasn't allowed to build it. The Novi told him Dam Rav Shafachto and his son Shlomo is going to be an Isholam. The Shlomo is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. How can it be that David was Mekadosh Akasha? Is a teretz, but that's what the Gemara says, that David HaMelech was Mekadosh. The Halacha says, the Sefrei comments on the Pasuk in Parshas Rei, L'shichne Sidushu Uvaso Shoma. The Halacha says when you're preparing to build the Beis HaMikdash, first the Talmid HaChachamim should try to figure out on their own where do they think the Beis HaMikdash should be, and then Drosh Al Pi Navi, then consult the Navi, and then if it's the right place, so move ahead, and if it's the wrong place, so then you listen to the Navi. So that's what David HaMelech did. The Gemara describes in Zohar. David HaMelech looked all over Eretz Yisrael. He decided he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim. Ein Itim is the location that has the highest elevation above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. And then he consulted the Navi. Then the Navi said, number one, that's not the right place. It's going to be Yerushalayim. Ein Itim is higher up above sea level. He said, it's nicer. More covered they could bank safe off Shachin. The Shekhinah will be not on top of the head of Binyamin, the bank safe of a little lower than the location that has the highest elevation, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is better. And number two, you're not going to build it. Your son Shlomo HaMelech is going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Chasam Sofer is that kasha. How can the Gemara say that Yerushalayim is Gevoyim Mekol Eretz Yisrael? Similar to this pasuk, Alu Alavi Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mekol Arotzes. So the pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim in the parsha of Zalka Mamre, it says if there'll be Amachlekes among the Chachamim Divrei Rivis Bisharecha, the Kamta V'Yalisa Lamokim Shivcha Hashem, you should go to Yerushalayim for the Beis HaMikdash and ask the Sanhedrin and the Lishkas HaGozes and whatever they paskin. So the Pasuk says, V'Kamta V'Yalisa Lamokim, you should go up to Yerushalayim. So from that phrase we derive the principle that Yerushalayim Gavoy Mikol Eretz Yisrael. So how can the Gemara say Yerushalayim Gavoy Mikol Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara tells the whole story about David HaMelech. He wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash in Ein Etzem, which is not Yerushalayim, it's outside of Yerushalayim. And then the Navi told him, no, build it in Yerushalayim. Bank safe of Shachain, it's lower. And this Gemara says that Yerushalayim Gavoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael, based on the Pasuk, Kamtav Yalisa Lamakim. So the Balamor and Rosh Hashanah answers all the kashas. He says it doesn't, we're not talking here, it's all Gavoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Gavoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean highest and above sea level. Doesn't mean the mountains are higher than other locations. No, there are other places in the world, other places in Eretz Yisrael that are higher than Yerushalayim, other places in the world that are higher than the whole Eretz Yisrael, mountainous area. It just, the question in the Gemara was, the halacha tells you how you're supposed to hold the globe. So you don't hold the North Pole on top, you don't hold the South Pole on top, you don't hold New York City on top, you don't hold Washington Heights on top. You have to hold on top of the globe Yerushalayim and all of Eretz Yisrael. What's an afkamina? So the Balamor tells you a halachic ramification, afkamina for the purpose of international dateline. Anyway, that's what he tells him. Maharu ba'alu alavi. Rashi quotes the famous Medrash. Rashi made it very famous that they sent Agolos. They sent Agolos to the father in order to remind the father that the last thing that Yosef had learned with him before he left was the Parsha of Egla Rufa. So the Mefarshim all point out, what is this all about? What's the significance of reminding the father the last thing that they learned? If you have one Jew all alone in Eretz Mitzrayim, he's probably gonna go watch television all day long. He's gonna waste time. He's gonna fall in. Gonna blend in with the whole culture and the whole society over there. He'll be a goy gomer. So the father's going to be ready to die if he's going to see the son. The father probably will not want to come down to Mitzrayim. He will be aggravated. They told the story that several years ago, one of the Talmidim who was learning in Yerushalayim by Rabbi Avram Yeshua Soloveitchik, was in the dentist's office. And he overheard the dentist tell one of the patients, Mr. Soloveitchik, I'll be with you in a few minutes. So the student, he was also in the waiting room, so he asked the guy, your name is Soloveitchik? He says, yeah. Where did he come from? He just came from Russia a couple of months ago. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He says, are you related to the Soloveitchiks here in Eretz Yisrael? He says, he doesn't know. He just came. He doesn't know who he's related to. In the war, he was all by himself in the war, and he hasn't been in touch with anybody. He says he was told that his... He was told that his grandfather was a prominent rabbi in Brisk. He doesn't know who's alive. He doesn't know. So his grandfather, a prominent rabbi, that's Rav Ravala Soloveitchik's children were lost in the middle of the war. So that was the lost child. Ravala was always aggravated to death. He never knew what happened to the children. Didn't know whether they were killed by the Nazis, whether they survived. See, this son came to Eretz Yisrael. So then this the yeshiva student went back to his rebbe. And he told him that he was in a dentist's office and they met this guy. His name is Soloveitchik. He just came from Russia. And he says his grandfather, he was told his grandfather was a prominent rabbi in Brisk. So that's their relative. So they sent Rabbi Yeshua, Avram Yeshua Soloveitchik, was born way later. He didn't know. He wouldn't know this person. So they sent the sister. They sent one of the daughters of Rabbi Avla Soloveitchik to go meet the guy to see if that's her brother. And apparently she saw he was married to a non-Jewish woman. So she said, that's not our brother. Goodbye. She walked away. Obviously his mother was her brother. But he's married to a shiksa and his children are going. So they didn't want to have anything to do with him. So that's what happened over here. They're going to tell Yankel Avinu, your son, your favorite son, Yosef, is still alive. And he's the chief advisor to Paro. He's our guy Gomer. He's our guy Gomer. So the father's going to come down to Mitzrayim to see his son, the guy is going to rip Kriya and bury himself alive. He's going to go into the grave and die. He doesn't want to see that. So that's what Yosef tells him. I'm all alone in Mitzrayim, but I keep on chazering the Torah that I learned with my father. He always refused the Torah, and that's what gives him the ability to be machzik maima, to remain observant, to remain true to the Jewish religion. And he tells the brothers, remind the father that the last thing we learned was Egla Rufa, that the father should know that it's true, and he shouldn't feel bad that they come and see me. I'm Jewish. And he shows the brothers his bris milah. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Yushunu Eli Vayigoshu. He shows him the bris milah. He says that he's Jewish like them, and he's proud of the fact that he's keeping mitzvahs. He tries to observe the mitzvahs b'tzina. Otherwise the father would not be so thrilled. He says, go tell the father I'm in the high, let's say Henry Kissinger. No. Henry Kissinger's father sat Shiva when he got married to the Sheikhs on Shabbos. I think his mother attended the wedding. But the father sat Shiva when he got married to the Sheikhs on Shabbos. He wasn't a violation of the din. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, but Enki Dushin Tofsin, the Nachris. So he wasn't a violation of the Issa Derabbanan. It was only a violation of the Issa Deraisa of living with the Sheikhs. So the father was not happy that his son was Henry Kissinger. He's all up on top. So what? Yankel Levine is going to be happy that his son is Otan L'chol Beis Moshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. So the answer is he sent the Agolis, that he's still Machzik Maimon, is still observant. So that's why the father came. The Psukim say that when they came, they said Loga Baretz Banu, and the Haggadah, the drasha is quoted from the Tanaim, Loga Baretz Banu Malamit Shaloyer Yankav Lishtakeh B'Mitzrayim Ala Logasham. They only plan to come temporarily. What do you mean temporarily? Ger is a temporary dweller. So the Ramban HaChumash explains they planned only to come till after the years of famine would be over. 2 years of famine had gone by, and there were another 5 years to go. So they only planned to come temporarily. Then they were going to go back to Eretz Yisrael right after the conditions would be improved. But then the Ramban interprets over here that when they told this to Parah, Loga Baretz Banu, so Parah tells, and they're interested in living in Goshen because they can't live together with everybody else because they have animals, and they deify the animals. They used to worship the animals. So then Parah tells Yosef, that's in chapter Mem Zayin, Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer al Parah Loga Baretz Banu. We only came Loga temporarily. Vayomer Parah al Yosef Leim Avicha Be'achecha Bo'i Lecha Eretz Mitzrayim Lefanecha Hi Be'meitav Haretz Hosheves Avicha Yeshu Be'eretz Goshen. So the Ramban interprets Hosheves Avicha, no, not Loga Baretz. Buy them homes and set them up nicely. Try to encourage them that they should stay longer. We could use some intelligent people in this country. Let them stay kavua. And then it turns out that they did stay kavua. Originally, their plan was only Loga Baretz Banu, and to go back after the Shnehar Shnos Harov. But then Paro convinced them, and they did stay. It's interesting, according to the Medrash, somehow Yankov Avinu did have food. He only said, in the previous parashah, he said, Loma Tisro. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Lama Tarats Nachem Lefnei B'nei Yishma, why should you show up in front of the other neighbors that we have food and they don't? Let's go make believe that we also don't have food. So the truth of the matter was that he did have food. So why did he agree? Why did Yankov Avinu agree to go down to Mitzrayim? Why didn't he just stay in Eretz Canaan? So he'd be happy, he'd correspond with his son Yosef. I mean, he was chalishing to see him. Yeah, but he was petrified to go down. With all that he heard, that he's still learning Torah, and he remembers the Egla Rufa and so on. But it says that he was afraid to go down. That's how the Yisbach Zvachim Lalekei Aviv Yitzchak, he brought Karbanis. And Rabban Shalom told him, Al Tira Mirador Mitzrayim. So Rashi says he was petrified, Fishohiyah Meitzar, Al Shiniskak Lotzlis L'chutz Lotz. He was very nervous. What's going to happen with Klal Yisrael living in Mitzrayim? It's going to have a terrible effect on the Jewish people to live in a Goyish country. He really didn't want to go. So what convinced him to go? Why didn't he stay in Eretz Canaan and have Yosef visit him from time to time? Why did he decide to move to Eretz Mitzrayim? Yosef couldn't leave. Yosef was Henry Kissinger. Okay, he was the top man in the government there. So he had to stay in Mitzrayim. But he could travel around a little bit. They could visit the father once a year. What convinced Yaakov Avinu to go down to Mitzrayim as opposed to staying in Eretz Yisrael? Soloveitchik was once holding a drasha about this. He held many drashas on these topics. So in one of the drushes he made a comment that as important as it is to live in Eretz Yisrael, the unity of Klal Yisrael is more important. You don't break up Klal Yisrael because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So here these were the two alternatives that they had. They should stay in Eretz Yisrael, the whole family should stay, and Yosef will be alone over there in Eretz Mitzrayim. He has no choice, he can't leave. He's all the way involved in the government. Or should they give up Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and unite all of Klal Yisrael? So the decision was made that the unity of Klal Yisrael is more important than the mitzvah of Zionism. As important as the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, but the Achdus of Klal Yisrael is more important. The theme of Achdus, Klal Yisrael, keeps on being repeated. That was the whole trouble with the brothers. They didn't get along with each other. They were killing each other. They were fighting with each other. The Pasuk says, Kol HaNefesh, it lists off all of the names of the people coming to Mitzrayim, and then it says at the end, Kol HaNefesh HaBola Mitzrayim, Kol HaNefesh HaBizyanka HaBola Mitzrayim HaShivim. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Kol HaNefesh, there's 70 people and they're called Nefesh, and Esav only has 6 people and it's called Nafshos Beso. Esav, Sheish Nefashes, Hoyulo, Vakasakari Yosam, Nafshos Beso, Loshen Rabim. And over here there's 70 people and it's called Nefesh, because the concept of Achdus only applies by Klal Yisrael. That's a little humorous. The Maharal Prague writes that we all know that there's more machlokes among the Jews than there is among any other nation in the world. No other nation has so much machlokes. Maharal explains the phenomenon. He says that the Jews, even those who are non-religious, even the anti-religious, the Jews feel that everything in this world is very serious. The Rabbanu Shalom created a world and he gave mitzvahs, Torah, mitzvahs, and everything is very serious. So when there's a machlokes between the chveis, there are those who are convinced of Torah Mada, there'll be moisa nefesh on this hashkaf of Torah Mada, and the others are anti-Torah Mada. There'll be moisa nefesh on the anti-Torah Mada, and they'll be cursing each other. And then you have chassidim and misnagdim. And years ago there used to be such machlokes between the chassidim and the misnagdim, between these chassidim and the other chassidim. It was terrible. What, and even the Apikursim, they're with a brand, they're so convinced this, they have the tradition that everything in this world is very serious. You can't just, it's not a joke, it's not a laughing matter. So the Apikursim are so convinced that the whole religion is false, they're with the Messiah. Now, what does it bother them if a guy's religious? You do your thing and let him do his thing. No. The Jews are so convinced that everything in this world is so important that each one goes with the Mesiras Nefesh and they fight with each other. So Maharami Prague, and one of his Maharami explains this, that's the reason for this phenomenon. Why there's so much machlokes among the Jews, because we all work on the same premise that everything in the world is extremely serious. But we're supposed to be in the state of Achdus. We're supposed to be Nefesh as opposed to Nafshos. And the Pasuk says, Mikam Chiso Goy Echad Bar. The Jews are the only ones who have a tziruf together. We have a Torah that's mitzarif us. We all worship one religion that's mitzarif us. By the Umas Olam, there is no concept of tziruf at all. Each person is an individual. The Gemara says in the end of Nazi that there's no concept of call by Umas Olam. The Gemara has that in Perek HaKusim, the end of Nazi. It's halacha. And Maharami Prague has a long arichas on that. It's a paradox. The Klal Yisrael is the only nation that al-pidin is mitzarif, and the others have no tziruf at all. Each person is an individual. And on the other hand, the Jews are the ones who are most prone to machlokes because of this other consideration that the Maharami Prague points out. So that's what's usually understood. The Psukim say that when Yosef meets up with his brother Binyamin, so they're crying on each other's shoulders. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that they were crying over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Where does it come in the middle of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? All the Mefarshim say Pshat. The Churban Beis HaMikdash was caused because of the lack of Achdus, because they were killing each other, because they were fighting with each other. So now they were hugging each other, they're getting along together, but they're crying over the fact that the hugging and the kissing and the loving is not going to last too long, that the Jews are always going to be full of machloikis, and that's going to bring about all the Churbanos of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan Shiloh. That's where Rashi writes. And that's the theme of the whole Haftarah, that the Novi Cheskel is told to take 2 pieces of wood and to write on it Yehuda, L'bnei Yisrael chaver of all the Shvatim, to write on the other one Yosef, and he should put the 2 pieces of wood together. This is a nevuah of a poel dimyon. He does an action to demonstrate. Most of the nevuahs were just they had a chazon, they had a mara hanevuah. And once in a while, the Navi is told to do some activity to demonstrate that it's a strong nevuah. So he's told to put the 2 pieces of wood together. to indicate the fact that Lasi Lavi, the Jewish people, even though it's hard to believe, the Jewish people will be united. And what will happen? The Beis HaMikdash will be built. Beis HaMikdash will never be destroyed. That's how the Haftarah concludes. Because the Churban Beis HaMikdash is because of the lack of Achdus. So the Navi says that Lasi Lavi, there will be an absolute Achdus, and then the Beis HaMikdash will not be destroyed. Abdi David Melech Aleim, it'll be David will be the Melech, not Yosef. That was part of the Machlekes. Mi Barosh, who should be the king? Whether descendants from Yehuda or the descendants from Yosef. So the Navi says that the descendants from Yehuda will be the king, not the descendants from Yosef.
Didn't they really run out of food the second time that Yaakov sent them down? They said that, and then he said that that's why he invited Binyamin, but
they said, yeah. I don't know. The Pashup Shat in the Chumash is that they ran out of food. They ran out of food, and the Medrash comments that he's afraid that Yehuda argued with the father. Ein safik motzim idei vadai. We're all going to die from starvation over here. That's a vadai. If you send Binyamin, maybe he'll get killed. Maybe he won't get killed. So he says, ein safik motzim idei vadai. If he stays here, for sure he's going to get killed. If he goes to Mitzrayim and come back, there's a chance that we'll all survive. There's a chance that Binyamin will die. So that the simple reading of the Pesukim is like he said. The other Rashi quoted another Medrash. That somehow they had loads of food, they had no problem with food, and the whole issue of going to Mitzrayim was only that they shouldn't make it obvious to their neighbors that they have so much food.
So you would agree to send Binyamin just for that reason?
I don't know. If it's missing, the Medrash doesn't fill in the rest of the story. Rashi quotes from the Medrash when he tells him Gishu Elai Vayigoshu, and he says, don't you see Kipi Hamadaber Aleichem? So what does that mean? Kipi Hamadaber, what did he convince them? Kipi Hamadaber Aleichem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Kipi Hamadaber Aleichem Beloshon HaKodesh, I'm speaking in Hebrew. So what is that? That proves that he's Yosef. If he wouldn't be Yosef, how would he know how to speak Hebrew? So the Ramban says, what do you mean? That was the spoken language. All the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael, the Arabs in Eretz Yisrael speak Hebrew. So what's the Chiddush? How does he prove that he's Yosef? So the Beis HaLevi has a famous pshat that there's a Gemara talks about a concept of Tvi Aseina Dekolo. When they saw Yosef, it says Vayaki Yosef Asecha Behem Lo Hikiru. They didn't recognize him. So Rashi says because when they had last seen him, he was a young boy. So many years passed by. He looked totally different. He had a beard. So they didn't recognize him. So the Beis HaLevi has the kasha, but the Gemara speaks about concepts of Tvi Aseina Dekolo. You can recognize the person. Melitz, and the Melitz was speaking in Hebrew. So there's no Tvi Aseina Dekolo from Hebrew to Egyptian. If Yosef would have spoken Hebrew, then it would have had the Tvi Aseina Dekolo. So that's when he started to speak Lashon HaKodesh. Kifi Hamadaber Aleichem in Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Beis. Now I'm talking Lashon HaKodesh, and now they could recognize his voice. I had such an event. I had such an experience a couple of weeks ago. I went to a family bar mitzvah in Flatbush, and the rabbi of the shul was a boy who learned in the Kovel. So he hadn't seen me in 25 years. So he looked the same now as he looked then. I looked differently. I didn't realize it. When he last saw me, I didn't have a beard. So I was an uncle, a great uncle of the bar mitzvah boys, and he gave me an aliyah. So when I walked into the shul, so I nodded to him, good Shabbos. He gave a weak nod to me. And then he didn't realize who I was till I got the aliyah. When I got the aliyah, I said the bracha. So he recognized my voice. And he apologized. He said he didn't recognize me until I said the bracha. Then he had a Tvi Aseina Dekolo. There is such a thing, for sure. But the Beis HaLevi, he has a chiddush. He thinks that the Tvi Aseina Dekolo doesn't work from one language to the other. So he says when Yosef started to speak Lashon HaKodesh, then the Tvi Aseina Dekolo kicked in. Then they could recognize him. The Gemara in the Darim, there's a Mishnah in the Darim that says that if a person takes a neder, how do you determine what's included in the neder, what's not included? It all depends on Loshem B'nei Yodim. B'nei Yodim, Halokha, Loshem B'nei Yodim. The same thing when you write a shtar, how do you determine what's included, and when you make a tanai, it's all the Loshem B'nei Yodim. what's included in the Tanai? What did he mean by the Tanai? So you interpret it. Tanai and a Loshen Ashtar and a Neder and a Shavua, all Kefi Loshen and the Yodim. So the Mishnayis, there's a series of Mishnayis there in the middle of the Dorm. What is included, what's not included, the Gemara has discussion. Sometimes the Gemara will quote Psukim, and the Gemara will say, Afal Peishen Rai L'Dover Zecher L'Dover. Why is Afal Peishen Rai L'Dover Zecher L'Dover? So the Gemara explains why. Because it could be that Loshen Torah L'Chud V'Loshen B'Riyadim L'Chud, just because in Biblical Hebrew that's what it means, doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same in common usage today. The Hebrew language has all languages develop over the years. So words that had one connotation in the days of Tanakh don't necessarily have the same connotation in later generations. But still, the Gemara will quote Afal Pishen Rai V'Dov V'Zecha V'Dov, but that's Shtikol Rai it is. That you see in Biblical Hebrew has that meaning, and today it also has the same meaning. The Miri writes very often on those Gemaras. Whenever the Gemara comes to a conclusion, what's included in this language, what's included in that expression, so the Mir always writes that this psak is boso mokam boso zman. This is what the Hebrew meaning of the Hebrew phrase meant in the days of the Mishnais and the days of the Gemara, and Eretz Yisrael and Babel, implying that it's not necessarily going to be the same today, and in the location where we live, because the Hebrew language is spoken differently in every country. Anyway, so the Mishnah has a din. If a person takes a neder not to eat kol hazon alai, takes a neder not to eat anything that is zon, that sustains one, that gives nutrition, so all foods are included, all foods and beverages are included except for mayim and melach, because water and salt don't give any nutrition. So the Chayodim has a chiddush based on this that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah Halacha L'Maaseh. The bracha barit mina mezainis, we know Rabbi Shmuel says it's only recited if you eat kol sheyesh b'mechameshes mina dogen, only if he has only if it's cake or cookies or spaghetti or something like that. As for the chameshes mina dogen, even if it's only kol sheyesh, but even if it's less than 50%, if it's chameshes mina dogen, so you say barit mina mezainis, even if it's in the miut. So that's lachatchila. You only say barit mina mezainis on kol sheyesh b'mechameshes mina dogen. But the yevid, what if a person made a mistake and he says, let's say barit prihuetz on a potato? That bari parades on a potato, the Mishnah says you're not yotze because potatoes don't grow in the trees. But what if he says bari pri hu'adoma on a fruit that grows on a tree? So that's not false, it's not correct, but it's not wrong. So the Mishnah says b'di yevid you yotze, even though he didn't say the correct bracha that the chachamim were misakein, he was mishanim be'er shetov chachamim brachas. But bottom line, he said a bracha that fits in. So b'di yevid you yotze. So what if the fellow says bari mina mezainis on a chocolate malted? Chocolate malted has a little flour in it. Okay. And anything else, on potatoes, on oranges, on anything else, he says bari mina mezainis. So the Chayyadim says, but the Yevid, you can't say that he's not Yotze. Amai Mamelech, he thinks that even B'di'evid, you're not Yotze. Because that's not included in the Loshim and Yadim in the word zon, or mazon. But all other foods are included. So the Gemara quotes this pasuk that says when they sent provisions for Yaakov Avinu and for all the children, all the grandchildren to come from Eretz Canaan to Eretz Mitzrayim, so they sent Asarocha Morim Nosim Itu Mitzrayim, 10 donkeys loaded down with food. Eser Asanos Nosos Borvo Lechem Umozon Aviv Ladorah. It was carrying lechem, is bread, umozon. The Rashi is mozon is lifton. Lifton is things that you eat together with the bread, so that's called mozon. So you see from the pasuk that the word mozon applies to fruits and vegetables and other things, the side dishes that don't necessarily have chameshes mini dog in it. What? Lecha means bread and maza means cookies? Nah. Maza means lifton, Rashi says, all the other food. So you see from the pasuk like that in Biblical Hebrew, the word mazon applies even to other foods as well. The Netziv has a very startling comment in his commentary on the Shiltas, not on this week's parsha. I think it's on Parshas Noach. He quotes the Sefer Abu Jam. The whole premise of the whole Sefer is that all brachas and tefillas are supposed to be recited in the Biblical Hebrew. And this is the assumption of the Vilna Goyen, and this is the assumption of the Maharal Miprag, and the Taz quotes it. There are many places in Shulchan Aruch, but this is the assumption, that all brachas should be recited in Biblical Hebrew, not necessarily corresponding to the spoken language of Hebrew, the way we speak it today, or the way it was spoken in the days of the Tanoim. The Vilna Gaon makes such a comment on the Mishnah. It says if a person eats Alei Yerokas are the Bar Mini Deshoin. Rav Yehuda's opinion is that if you eat green vegetables, you say Bar Mini Deshoin. So why does it switch the language? Why doesn't it say Alei Yerokas are the Bar Mini Yerokas? Or it'd say Ala Deshaim, I'm a Bar Mina Deshaim. Why does it say if you're reading Yerachas, you say Bar Mina Deshaim? You say the same word twice. So he said the Vilna Gaon is quoted by the Talmidei Agra as saying no, Yerachas is in Mishnaic Hebrew and Deshaim is in Biblical Hebrew. So the Mishnah is telling you if you're reading Yerachas, he's talking to Adam Hamdab El Chaver. If you eat, he's not going to say if you eat Deshaim. Who talks Biblical Hebrew? Achad Ha'am used to deliver his papers in Biblical Hebrew. It's a joke. You talk and you write in spoken language, not in Biblical Hebrew. You don't even today. You don't speak in Mishnaic Hebrew either. People don't talk. They don't write like that. You write in normal Hebrew. So the Mishnah writes, Allah Yerachas. If you're reading Yerachas, we know what that means. I'm a Bariminei Dishoyim. One Tana. We don't pass like that. Rabbi Yehuda says you say Bariminei Dishoyim. You have to say the Nusach Habrach in Biblical Hebrew. So this is the whole premise of the whole Sefer Avudram and several other Svarim that were written by the Rishonim on the Nusach HaBrochas and the Nusach HaTfilah. They're all working on that assumption. And the whole job, the whole purpose of the Sefer Ibn Yarchi and the Avudram is to show that where is the Pasuk in Tanakh where this phrase appears. That's the whole theme of the whole Sefer. So the Nitziv slugs up the whole Sefer. He says the whole premise is wrong. He claims that from this sugya in the Dorim, that it says in the Mishnah, Hanoidim in Amazon, one who takes a neder, not to eat mazon, is not allowed to eat any food except for Mayim and Melach. So the Gemara says, from this Mishnah you see, the Gemara asks, isn't this Akasha against Rabbi Shmuel? Akasha, the Rabbi Shmuel say, you only say, Barim in Amazon, it's not Hamesh, it's Mini Dogon. Here the Mishnah says that all kinds of food is called Mazon. The Gemara works out a whole teretz. He doesn't really say Mazon. The word Mazon only applies to Chameshis Bnei Dogan. And the Mishnah doesn't say Mazon. He says Kol Azon Alai. Anything that's nutritious, I take a neder not to eat. So that includes all food. But the word Mazon Taka only includes Chameshis Bnei Dogan. So the Netziv asked the Kasha. What was the Gemara's Kasha in the first place? Rav Shmuel is saying, with respect to Bar Min Mizonis HaBrachas, HaBrachas have to be according to Biblical Hebrew. And the usage in Biblical Hebrew, perhaps the word mazon only applies to Hamishis Minei Dogon. And the Mishnah is telling you, Aloshim Eri Adam, the word mazon includes all foods except for Mayim Amelo. So why did the Gemara think that it's a kasha? They should have explained it's not a kasha. Then they should have asked from this pasuk. Okay, no, this is Barba Lechem or mazon. They could have raised this issue. But you can't say that it's a kasha from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about Aloshim Eri Adam. And Rabbi Shmuel is saying about a bracha. Bracha is not a Aloshim Eri Adam. A bracha is in Loshon HaTorah. So the Netziv claims, you see from the Gemara that the whole premise of the Maral Prague and the Taz and the Bir Agro and the Abu Drum and Ibn Yahi, the whole thing is all wrong. The whole thing is above the Maisa, that brachas can be composed in the Lashon Meriyadim. Wow. That's not at all the generally accepted position. And Shulchan Aruch always assumed not like that, Netziv. So he takes on the whole world. The commentary of the Netziv was written when he was, a commentary on the Shultas was written when he was very young. He was 17 years old or something. You can tell from the style also. And he writes such startling things. He takes such positions against the whole world. He's prepared, young people are prepared to take on the whole world. They get a little older, they become a little more realistic. Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu was about to leave Eretz Yisrael, he went to Be'er Sheva. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Rashi doesn't quote from the Medrash. Oh, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. No, it does quote. Yeah, Chai Vada Mikvoid Aviv Yosef Mikvoid Zekeno. Right, it's quoted in Yoredei also. Why does it say Lelekei Aviv Yitzchak? He, his father, and his grandfather all worship the same one God in heaven above. So why Lelekei Aviv Yitzchak? Why not Lelekei Aviv Abraham? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Melamed Shechai Vada Mikvayd Aviv Yosef Mikvayd Avi Avi. One is more obligated in the Kibud Av of a father than in Kibud Av of a grandfather. The simple mashmos of the Medrash sounds like there is a din of Kibud Av with respect to grandparents, but it's stronger with respect to parents than it is with respect to grandparents. That's what it sounds like. And some Achreinim in Yoredei in Hilchas Kibud Av, Simei Reish Mem, there are more quotes this, and others disagree. They say no, it means that you're not chayv in Kibud Av of a grandfather at all. There is no chiyuv kibra. It's nice to be respectful to all elders. You should be mechaber to all older people. Stop. But strictly speaking, many disagree with this understanding in the Medrash and said there is no din at all of kibra by grandparents. The Chasam Sofer quotes such a gemara. The Pischi Tshuva quotes a Chasam Sofer there, who quotes a gemara, the last daf in Soto, where the gemara says there was an amora who was a yosim at a young age. He was raised by his grandfather. And then after many years, the grandfather asked him, could you prepare me a cup of coffee? So he said, strictly speaking, I don't have to give you the coffee. There's no din of kibbutz. So he says, that's a simple mashmos from the gemara, that there is no din of kibbutz at all with respect to grandparents and grandchildren. Out of Hakaras HaTayr, look, the grandfather raised him, so of course he's gonna be decent to him. He's older than him. He's got respect for older people, b'chlam. But he says, when the Gemara is mashma, the last daf in Seita, that the strict din of kibbutz doesn't apply. What does it mean, vayizbach zvachim? Zvachim usually has the connotation of shlomim. So there's a comment in the Ramban that's clearly Kabbalah, which I don't understand one word of. He says that until the days of Yaakov Avinu, everybody was only bringing oilos. And Yaakov Avinu was the first one who brought a shlomim, and then he goes into his Kabbalah and explains why this was the case. Why did he have to bring a karm shlomim on this occasion? And he quotes expressions from the Medrash that we really don't know what they mean. What does it mean? Shechai v'adam b'kvoid aviv yosim b'kvoid avi aviv. So Pasha Pshata, keep it up, grandparents, parents. He says, no, that's all a malitza. It has to do with Kabbalah. It's not to be taken literally. And then he said, there's another medrash on the pasuk also. A peladig medrash on this pasuk that says something about if a Rebbe and a Talmud are walking on the highway and they come, first you greet the Talmud, then you greet the Rebbe. What does that mean? It would make sense, first you greet the Rabbi, then you greet the Talmud. So he says this has to do with this Kabbalah, the secret of Kabbalah that he's not going to divulge. He always writes that in Achumash. He starts, it goes into something Kabbalistic and he doesn't explain what he means. So he says it has to do with this Kabbalah, why he brought Shlomim and not Oilos, I don't know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he shouldn't be afraid. Altira Mirador Mitzrayma. Anochi Eridim Chum Mitzrayma Vanochi Alcho Gamalo. You shouldn't worry. This is the concept of Golus HaShechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will go down with you into the Golus. In the Zmiris on Shabbos we say, Yoshev Leinem HaKim Mishov V'Kibetz. It doesn't say in Tanakh that Hashem will bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. It says, V'Shov Hashem Alakecha Es Shavus Chavri Chamecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return from Golus together with the Jewish people. V'Shov Hashem Alakecha Es Shavuscha means Im Shavuscha. God will return from Golus to Eretz Yisrael together with the Jews. So that pasuk also is assuming. Many psukim indicate that there's a concept of Golus Hashchina. What exactly does it mean, Golus Hashchina? So there are different levels of understanding what it's referring to. There is a Gemara in Makkos, in the second parak in Makkos, that says the Talmud Shagola Maglin Lerabbi Imoy, that if... let's say if there's one person learns with one Rebbe, he's the only one. If you have a whole group of 30 students learn with a Rebbe and one of them killed Bishogi, he has to go to Golus. So the Mefarshim say he make the Rebbe go to entertain the one Talmud in Ori Miklot and he neglects the 29th Talmidim. That does make sense. It means Magdan Le Rabbi Imoy, there's only this Rebbe only has this one Talmud. So the Talmud goes to Ori Miklot and the Rebbe has no other Talmidim to teach. So the Halacha requires he has to go to the Ori Miklot to entertain the Talmud, to teach him Torah. How do you derive that? Because the pasuk says, "V'nasa lachas horem ha'el v'choy." V'choy doesn't just mean he should survive; that the girl Adam shouldn't get after him, shouldn't kill him. V'choy means he should have a chiyus; he should enjoy life. The halacha says you have to go into a mikla. Doesn't mean you have to suffer. So when the Rebbeinu Shalom, that's what the Mekubalim say. When the Rebbeinu Shalom sent the Jewish people into Golus, in quotation marks, it's the same Golus that the Harei Bishgog has to go to Golus. It means we are punished that we're not allowed to live in a normal place, but doesn't mean we have to suffer in the Golus. Nothing wrong if we become rich and we have nice homes and we become blended, we're respected in the country and we become high in government and so on. That's not in contradiction to the Golus. Just like the Ratzech goes to Roy Miklot V'choy, so too the Bnei Yisrael gone to the Golus, we also have a right to V'choy. We should enjoy ourselves. So the way to enjoy yourself is Talmud Shigolim, Magma the Rabbi, the Rabbi Shalom goes into Golis with us, to keep us company and to entertain us, that we should enjoy the Golis better. That's the Pirush that the Chidor quotes from the Mekubalim. That Golis Hashchina is identical with the din of Talmud Shigolim, Magma the Rabbi Ima. Others interpret a whole different shot, that it doesn't, it's not based on that din. What is that din got to do with this? That's Golis or a Miklat, it's a different Golis. The word Golis, it hasn't come. It's not the same. What it means is a different thing. Like the Gemara tells in the Dorim, the Gemara in Moikotten has this, Masechus Moikotten in Elu Megalfen, the Gemara says that sometimes when a person deserves to be put in Nidui, so the Talmud Chachma put him in Nidui, felt bad that he has this nasty job of putting the other one in Nidui, and he didn't plan to leave the other person in Nidui for too long. So in order to make sure that the Talmud Chachma doesn't forget to be matad in Nidui, so the Gemara has cases that the Talmud Chachma will be menada le'atzmo. He put himself in Nidui, and then when he would go home for dinner that evening, he wouldn't be allowed, Talmud Chachma wouldn't be allowed to eat dinner with his family because he's in Nidui. He would be matad le'atzmo. As the Gemara says, Talmud Chachma menada le'atzmo, u'meifa le'atzmo. He can put himself in Nidui, and then he can be matad his own Nidui. Meifa le'atzmo, it's called. Meifa le'atzmo. What was accomplished by putting himself in Nidui? So the Mefarshim explained, in order to remind him to be matad the Nidui of the other guy. I only wanted to put the other guy needed for a short period of time. I didn't want him to suffer. So in order to make sure that I don't forget, so I'll put myself in Nidui, and I'll have to be mata myself, that I'll remember already. I'm not allowed to eat with my wife and my children. That I'll remember already. So when I'll be mata my own Nidui, so this will remind me to be mata the Nidui of the other person. So that's what the standard Mefarshim say. That's what Golas Hashchina is all about. If Arishom sent the Jewish people into Golas, he may forget about us. He promised he's never going to forget. Yeah, but we don't trust him. He promised he's not going to forget. He says, like, you're engraved on my palm. What if you have gloves on? You're not going to look at your palm. So we're afraid he's going to forget all about us. So he himself went into Golis, and he says, I'm into Golis also. I'm also suffering. And don't worry, I'm going to not forget about you. I'm not going to forget about myself. I'm going to return back to Eretz Yisrael. The Shekhinah is going to go back. So when I go back, I'm gonna bring you back also. You won't forget to leave us in the Golis. In other contexts, the expression of Golis Hashchina is used in Kabbalah writings in a totally different sense. There's a pasuk in Dvarim that says, "Ki lo yalechem levada yichyehu adam kol motzo pi Hashem yichyehu adam." So the simple meaning of the pasuk is that they can live on the mon. They didn't have any food, but they had man. So man was a pesach min hashamayim, lechem min hashamayim, so they could survive on that. That's the Parshat Shad. So there's a famous interpretation from the Arizal that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Nisheshes Mei Bereishis, he created everything, basar mamoris nivra ha'olam. He just made declarations, yihiyori, yihirakia, and there should be animals and vegetables and fruits and everything should grow and so on and so on. Everything was a maimer, was a dvar Hashem. So the pasuk says, "Lo alalechem levado yichyehu adam." Man doesn't only live, keep alive, on eating the bread. There's a dvar Hashem in everything in the world that keeps it. In this Rambam, there's a dvar Hashem that it should exist as paper, as a book. There's a dvar Hashem in the tape recorder, dvar Hashem in the table, dvar Hashem in the chair, dvar Hashem in everything in the world that should keep it alive, that should keep it in existence, in the state that it is in. So that's the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. Lo alalechem levado yichyehu adam. People don't only live based on the nutritional value that the food has. Kol motza pi Hashem yichyehu adam. Every piece of food and anything that's in existence in the world has a dvar Hashem that's mechayit, that keeps it alive. So these are what the Kabbalah Sram referred to as nitzotzes hakdusha. There's a dvar Hashem in everything in the world that keeps it in existence, that could be used and for the purpose of mitzvahs. The whole Bria yearns to be involved. That's how the Mesillas Hashem writes in the introduction. Mesillas Hashem is all Api Kabbalah, but he doesn't tell you that. He doesn't quote any Kabbalah, but everything that he writes is based on Kabbalah. So he writes in the introduction that the Rebbe Shalom created a world, and the whole purpose of the whole Bria was L'chvod Hashem. So everything in the world yearns to get involved in mitzvahs. That's, he quotes the Medrash, that when Yankam Avinu Beikach Meyavne Amokam, he took a few stones and they all blended it together. Beikach Zoeven, Ashesom Rashi, so why did they all blend it together? Because they were vying with each other. Alay Aniach Tzadik is Rosha. Everything in the world yearns to be involved in Avodas Hashem. Because everything has these Nitzetzes HaKdusha. and everything can be elevated to the level of being used for mitzvahs. And if it will be elevated to the level of being used for mitzvahs, then its purpose in creation will be fulfilled. It'll have a tachlis in being created. Otherwise, its existence will be a wasted existence. It will not have served any valuable purpose whatsoever. So that's why the Gemara has such an expression. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread the Jewish people out all over the world in Golos? In order to, Gemara has such an expression, Kabbalah Swarm also, in order to be Misakin all of these Nitzaytzes HaKadosh all over the world. The whole world has Nitzaytzes HaKadosh, this Dvar Pi Hashem and everything. So that's the function of the Jewish people scattered all over the world, to try to get everything in the world, all countries in the world and everything in the world, to be involved in Avodas Hashem and mitzvah. So this is another usage of the term Golos Hashchina, that these Nitzaytzes HaKadosh are spread over all over the world, and they're sitting like, the Balatani quotes the expression, Melech Asur Barahotim, like a king who is in prison. And he can't get out of prison, he can't function. So they have these Nitzaytzes HaKadosh, the Dvar Pi Hashem all over. All the buildings here in Washington Heights, they're all inhabited by people who don't do any Torah mitzvahs. And if the yeshiva takes everything over, so we'll be doing Torah mitzvahs here. If everything in the world will be used for religious purposes, for Kvod Shamayim, then the whole Bria will have its tachlis fulfilled. So that's also a usage of the expression of Golos HaShechina, the Nitzotis HaKdusha that are scattered all over the world, that are not realizing their purpose in Bria, they're not being used for Avodas Hashem. Such a story told about some Chassidish Rebbe, I forgot, I think the Gerer Rebbe. There must have been a Gerer Rebbe who died over 40 years ago. I don't remember which one. So when he passed away, they printed a whole collection of stories about him. So I remember one story stands out in my mind, that a Sefer came to the Rebbe, and he was priding himself over the fact that he is a medaktik when he writes the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. He's medaktik to take dafka from kosher geshachten at behemoth, that he takes parchment from leather of animals that had a kosher shechita. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that, strictly speaking, you're not allowed to use hides from an elephant or from a horse or from a donkey, from a non-kosher animal. But if the hide is from a kosher animal, except that it died a natural death, a nevel or a trefo, then it is acceptable. Then you may write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs on it. The halacha that requires it should be Menamuta beficha, the mantia Torah Hashem beficha, menamuta beficha. You have to write divrei Torah on kosher hides. Doesn't mean that it should really kosher gashachten, because the parchment is not food anyway. It means that it should be a kosher type animal. So he was telling this Gerer Rebbe that he's machmer, that he only uses parchments from animals that were glatt kosher, something like that. Only if the shechita was absolutely kosher l'mahad. So the Rebbe recommended he should do a hider the reverse. He said, I think you should be medaktik the other way, to use dafke nevelis atrefus, because the kosher geshachten animals, the sheikh had said a bracha on it. So that animal had its tikkun. It served the purpose in avodas Hashem. The sheikh had recited a bracha before he did the shechita. And people were eating the meat. Jewish people can eat the meat, and they have a chiyus, they have the ability to do Torah mitzvahs based on the meat that they eat. So those animals had their tikkun. They were involved in avodas Hashem. But Nebuch, the animal that was in the veil or trefa, a bracha was never recited over it when they shechted it, and the meat was never eaten by any Jewish person who's going to use that chiyus in order to be involved in Torah mitzvahs. Other rabbi, you should use those hides in order to give those animals a tikkun, to get more of the bria involved in avodas Hashem. So that's in Kabbalah's form, that's also called the Golos HaShechina. The Rashbam writes in the beginning of Yesh Neuchlin, he comments on this pasuk, V'yosef yoshis yodo aleinecho. The Rebbeinu Shalom is calming down Yankov Avinu. Don't worry, Altira Medor Mitzrayma, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry, Yosef will bury you. What kind of an expression is that? Yosef will bury you? People don't want to hear that they're going to die. So the Rashbam writes, this was a blessing that he gave. It's the greatest tragedy if a parent loses a child while he's alive. The normal Minikoilim is that the children outlive the parents. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you will die before your children, everything will go normal. Not that he's making them happy, you're going to die. He's telling them the reverse. None of your children will die before you. All the children will outlive you. And there'll be no covered, and everything will be proper. Yosef will be in charge of the Kfura, because he's the one in charge of everything there. That's how the Rashbam points out at the beginning of Yesh Nechman. He's talking about why the Mishnah records the din that the son yarshins the father before the din that the father yarshins the son. So the father yarshining the son is a tragedy. The son yarshining the father is normal. So the Mishnah goes in a normal order of things. Pasuk lists off all of the 70 people who went to Mitzrayim. L'shmos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayim. So Rashi has a comment: haboyim, I should say, they're not coming now. They should say l'shmos b'nei Yisrael shebo'u l'Mitzrayim. Why does he write it in the present? So Rashi writes every so often. You have a pasuk that's writing in the present, even though it's talking about something that happened a long time. Ein l'tmaya, you shouldn't wonder al asher lo yikasam shebo'u. So on this Rashi, Rav Soloveitchik also has a drasha that was printed that the only way for the Jews to maintain their religious integrity in Golos is if they act like Gerim. Have to act like Haboim LeMitzrayim. We just came when we didn't settle in yet. It's very bad when people settle in. People feel comfortable in Golos, and they forget about going back to Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer Hasidim writes that it's not permissible to build stone buildings, to build stone houses in Chutz La'aretz, because you demonstrate that you're there to stay for a long time. You can move into a stone house. Someone else built a brick house, so you can move into the house, but that you should build a brick house, that's not right. That's the Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash. So the Gemara has a tradition, all the Batei Knesses, the Batei Midrashes in Chutz La'aretz are going to be moved to Eretz Yisrael. But for a private home, it just demonstrates that you plan to stay there permanently. The Chasam Sofer in his Tshuvas quotes that from the Sefer Hasidim, that it's not right. You go sometimes to Flatbush or Borough Park, you see that people build mamish mansions like they plan to stay for 100 years. They don't plan, they don't think Mashiach is going to come before who's going to want to buy such a big mansion? The Pasuk, Rashi points out, the Pasuk lists off all the names and there are only 69. And then it says that there are 70. Shivim, how is it Shivim? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that that Moshe Rabbeinu's mother was born after they moved into Mitzrayim. The mother was pregnant with her on the way, and then she was born. Yecheved was born Ben Achomos. Ben Achomos doesn't mean as they were walking in between. Ben Achomos means after they entered Mitzrayim, a couple of weeks later, a couple of months later. Ben Achomos means inside Toch Achomos. She was born Toch Achomos. So they were pregnant with her on the way. She was born later. So that's why she's counted, but she didn't have a name yet. You don't give the name till after the baby's born. So there was one baby who didn't have a name yet, because she was only in the state of an embryo. The Rosh, in the end of Psochim, is speaking about Sfiras Omer. So the Pasuk says that you count Tisperu Chamishim Yom. We don't count 50 days, we only count 49 days. So the Rosh points out that it says in Chumash that you give Malkus Aboim Yakenu. And the Mishnah says you don't give Aboim, you give 39. So he says that's the way the biblical style of Hebrew. If it's one off from the unit of 10, like over here it says there are only 69, and you call it 70 because you're only one off. And this Baruch HaMishim Yom, you only count 49 days, you don't count 50. The same over there by the Malkus, that's the style of biblical Hebrew. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the Rosh in the end. He's giving out Derech HaPshat. The Rashi is giving out Derech HaDrash, that there was one baby who didn't have a name yet because she wasn't born yet. And the Rosh is giving out Derech HaPshat. There is a Sefer on Hilchas Pesach on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch that's called the Choyk Yankif. And he had a brother-in-law who wrote a sefer disagreeing with a lot what he wrote. That's called the Chok Yosef. His name was Yankov, his name was Yosef. So later on, they had tainus against the name Chok Yosef, because the pasuk says, and Chido quotes this in the Shema Gedolim, that the pasuk says that Yosef made up with the people that the income tax is 20%. That's what my cousin, Professor Aaron Levine, says. Why did he charge income tax 20%? He should have taken 100%. He could have taken whatever he wanted to. So you see that he understood that that if you have the capitalistic approach, that people know that if they'll work harder, they'll earn more money, And they'll keep more for themselves. If they keep 80% for themselves, so then they'll work harder, they work. So the government will come out making more money. If he would have said you have to pay 100% taxes, the people would have had a slave mentality like under the communists. For so many years, everything was kashrut, and the people weren't working hard. They were always drinking, and they were always partying, and taking off long weekends. Nothing was ever accomplished. Hardly anything was accomplished over there. Because there was no incentive. You're not going to get rich. Everything goes to the government anyway. You're not going to get anything. So that's what Yosef understood. So the Pasuk said, that's what my cousin says. So the Pasuk says over here that Yosef only took the tax, the 20% income tax from all the people, but not from the galochim. From the ministers, he didn't take any tax. And the Pasuk says, Ki chok, that was chok Yosef to the komorim, to the galochim. So chok Yosef in biblical Hebrew refers to the fact that he was courteous to the ministers of another religion. So this rabbi called this sefer chok Yosef. That's a good name for a nice Jewish sefer. That's what the Chidor quotes. There was a discussion on the sefer Magen Avraham also. The Magen Avraham is in the commentary on the Shaida Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is that a good Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham? And the Taz is called Magen David. The correct name is really Magen David. Magen David is also Baruch Atah Hashem Magen David. That's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that a proper name to call your sefer Magen David and Magen Avraham? So they held that there's nothing wrong with it. This was a machlokes, but there's anything improper with using such a name. Yeah, we know that that is a fact, that in slave societies everything works very snail's pace because the people have no incentive. They're not going to gain anything, so what should encourage them to do work? We have later in Chumash, when Bnei Yisrael are freed from Egypt, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Din, HaChodesh Asav Lachem Rosh Chodashim. He says, Lachem, I'm giving time into your hands. Whatever you'll do with the time will be yours. You have to use your time properly. You shouldn't waste it. If you wouldn't accomplish anything anyway by working, so why shouldn't you waste your time? Whatever you're going to do is not going to be, you won't be able to keep it anyway. But you can't, whatever you accomplish, whether beruchnius or begashmius, you will be able to keep for yourself. So that should serve as an incentive to work hard. There's one of the several biographies of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they quote that he used to say that people who kill a lot of time, he says it's mamish like suicide. When a person commits suicide, let's say at the age of 40, so he takes off 30 years in one shot. 20, 30 years in one shot. Other people also take off 20, 30 years, but not in one shot. They waste 3 hours now, they waste 3 hours tomorrow, they waste 2 hours the other day. If you add it all up, it also adds up to 20, 30 years. He said it's mamish suicide. But the people don't realize this, because it's a little at a time. But he said, Mali, if you commit suicide, a few hours at a time. Or you take all the 30 years and you chop them all up at one time. People who are free, who can accomplish things with their time, beruchnis or begashmias, should do so. That's what the Pasuk says. Achodesh hazeh lachem. Lachem means the time is given into our hands to do with it whatever we want. Okay.